let's tell our listeners who we have. Our incredible guest is Swami Kriyananda, also known as Swamiji, who is a direct disciple of the great master Parahansa Yogananda. Today he shares with us his new book, Parahansa Yogananda, a Biography. It will be launched and highlighted at the Ford Amphitheater in Los Angeles, June 24th. So we are celebrating this with him today, and it's wonderful. You are listening to the International Taz and Paula Show, and I'm Paula.
And I'm Taz. At the age of 22, Swami Kriyananda began the adventure of his lifetime. His two consuming desires were to find God and to help others find him. His guide was the great yogi Paramhansa Yogananda. So Swamiji dedicated 63 years of his life to spreading the teachings and the spirit of his great guru, inspiring thousands all over the world. Swamiji said the Paramhansa Yogananda gave Los Angeles area a special name. We'll share that with you all in just a little bit.
Well, we spoke to Swamiji, the founder of Ananda Village, located in Nevada City, last January. And during our interview, Swamiji told us about all the tulips that he had up there. It was more than 9,000. And I could hardly wait to go see the beautiful village. So in April, I went up there and spent the night and actually got to speak to you, Swamiji, and it was wonderful. I had wonderful meals. I meditated. I did yoga. And it's just a wonderful center.
Did you like the tulips?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. The tulips are gorgeous. I have pictures of the tulips on my website, so it's wonderful. Well,
it's still beautiful without the tulips.
Oh yes, the tree. I mean, and you look. If it was in my imagination, I think I could hear the river and the canyon below you.
Yeah, no, you can.
Oh, so you have this new book out, and it's amazing to me, Swamiji, that you wrote this after you read the book in 1948, the autobiography of the yogi, of a yogi, and that brought you to Los Angeles. And now you're writing a biography about him. What made you do this? Is it to expand the knowledge?
It just amazes me that I never thought to write it before. No one has thought to write it. It's 53 years since he left his body. 52 years since he left his body. And 62. And nobody has written his biography yet. I feel very shameful that it's taken me so long. But I tell you, his book could tell about many other saints. It told a glorious book of his wonderful attitudes toward life, but he couldn't tell about his greatness. He couldn't tell about the miracles he performed. He couldn't tell about the effect that he had on other people. This I could do.
Oh, and you
did
it so well.
I hope today you show some of those stories as well.
Yes. Yeah, they're wonderful stories. And they're miracles and graciousness. I show his characteristics. You'd look into his eyes and it was like looking into infinity. There was no ego there. He was just only thinking of helping other people. It was a glorious person. I never in my life have met anybody his equal.
There's a painting of him in your gift shop at the village, and the eyes are so incredible. I mean, I just couldn't take my eyes off of his eyes. And
yes.
It must have been that way in real life.
Very much so. And not only that, but there was a real power coming from them, a power of love and of bliss.
Can you tell us about maybe his first years in America, what it was like for him?
Well, he had quite a uphill jump. it was a Christian country, basically. Of course, there were Jews and others, but basically Christian, and certainly not Hindu. And many doors were closed to him. He had to open a lot of doors. He had to. He was the most popular speaker in America at his time. He toured the country. Thousands and thousands came to his lectures. It was a most impressive showing. He had a heavy Bengali accent, but he could be understood. And I think people just were not prepared for so much. They read his book and they think of him as gentle and sweet, which he was. But my God, the power in his voice. They were not prepared for that.
Well, his stories are so simple, yet piercing with truth.
Indeed, yes. Very much so. Somehow you felt... Well, you know, when I first met him, he gave me his unconditional love, which was an extraordinary thing to say to somebody. He accepted me as soon as I met him. I mean, within the first half hour. But then he asked me for my unconditional love, and I said, certainly, but then he asked me for my unconditional obedience. Well, I've always been addicted, you might say, to truth. And I couldn't help asking him this question. I said, what if you ask me something that I don't agree with sometime? He said, I will never ask anything of you that God himself does not tell me to ask you. And in that case, I said, I give you my unconditional obedience. And he never betrayed that promise.
Now, he always...
Everything
did you keep a journal?
Everything. What is that?
Did you keep a journal while you were...
I did indeed. But these stories are from my memory, but his sayings, I have that in his journal. I have pages and pages of journal. In fact, he told me, write down these words. I remember we were talking one time and he turned to me and said, hey, write that down.
Can you tell us a story that maybe stands out in your mind? And probably there's so many, but maybe you can grab one that your time with him that, like I said, stands out in your memory.
Well, the one that stands out particularly was one time out at 29 Palms where he had a retreat. And I spent a lot of time with him out there. And he was editing his commentaries on the Bhagavad Gita. And I was sitting on the floor and I was just thinking what a fortune it was to be his disciple. And he didn't say anything, but after he finished, about half an hour later, he asked me to help him to his feet, and I got up and helped him. And he looked at me very closely in the eyes. He said, just a bulge of the ocean. He never wanted us to think of him as the guru. God is the guru. And he never wanted to be... I have disciples. He said they are God's disciples. He never had any egoic reference.
Does he come to you now?
I feel his presence all the time.
And do you receive messages from him now?
Yes. Yes, I do. Sometimes important messages.
I know one important message is community.
Well, that was a message he delivered in Beverly Hills at a garden party. And he talked about, well, he's talked about for many years, but on that occasion he was very powerful on the subject of starting communities. And I vowed that I would do so. And in 1968, I bought my first land, 67 actually, my first land, to start a community. Now we have 9 communities in the world. About 1,000 people live in all of them together, and they're thriving.
Wow. I know you did.
Swamiji, you have in one of your communications with people. I think it was on a YouTube that I saw. You said that Paramahansa Yogananda named Los Angeles Varanasi. What does that mean?
He said it's the Benares of America. You know, I've often wondered about that. There is certainly a great deal of spirituality in Los Angeles. People talk of the goofiness there, but people don't even they don't show their goofiness even, except in the things they're in.
Well, you know, I don't know if I always feel a special feeling when I'm there, so even though it's creepy.
When I land in Los Angeles in the airport, I feel it immediately. And I think that, you know, the theosophists had a theory, or a, something or other, that this was a high civilization many, many centuries ago. So there is a great spiritual power there.
A spiritual power. We can, you know, we can feel it. Paula and I were down there recently, and it was, again, you know, no matter, even if there's all the traffic and everything going on down there, there's an energy down there that really is uplifting and full of light.
Yeah.
We should tell our listeners that they should visit the center down there if they ever travel that way.
By all means,
and,
do.
Yes.
Can you give the address?
Yes, go ahead. Do you have the address on the top of your head, Swamiji?
I don't. Just a moment. I have a secretary here who's writing it down.
Okay.
Oh, good.
Say hello to him.
The address of our center in Los Angeles. So he'll come back eventually. And
okay.
So,
so you have centers all over the world. In fact, at the beginning of the year, you were traveling to India and Italy. And, you brought a message to the people in India.
Yes, I'll be going back there in September, too. I'll be traveling all over the country.
So did you bring India a special message when you came the last time?
Well, I didn't have one message. I had Yogananda's message. Okay, so it is... Oh, I have the 17th. On Sunday, I have a service in Los Angeles. But then, of course, as you know, I have a lecture at the Ford Amphitheater on the Saturday, the 24th. Sunday, the 24th. And our address is 425 North Highland in Hollywood.
In the Ford Amphitheater, you're going to have your book launching. That's June 24th.
Yes, June 24th.
And
that'll
you're going to
be a big event.
And you're going to be in the Sacramento Ananda Center, I believe, on June 20th, I heard.
No, it's the 13th.
Oh, the 13th. Oh.
I'm going down on the 14th, too. Los Angeles. It'll be the 13th. And I don't know my subject. I've written to them asking for a subject, but they haven't written me back yet. But you can call the center there, and whatever they suggest is probably what I'll talk about.
Okay, you're open, right?
I'm open.
Well, and <I'll, laughs> and you know what I want to do. I want to go to your center in Italy. I hear that is a gorgeous center.
Yes. Do you speak Italian?
No.
Okay. Well, I lecture in Italian in Italy. But do come there. It's near Assisi, between Assisi and Gualdo Tavino.
Oh, and it's right.
Well, you have...
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think from about an early age, in your teen years, I think I remember reading about you that you have four languages that you speak. Do you speak more at this point?
I grew, I grew up with Romanian, German, and English, and then I went to school in Switzerland, so I learned French.
So that comes in handy.
Yeah, I didn't speak Italian at that time. But now I speak it pretty well. I was in a store recently, and somebody heard me talking with some Americans. She knew me. She said, "Say, you talk good English."
Well, you know, when I was up last year visiting Nevada City, the Ananda Village, there to see the beautiful tulips, there were movie directors, and you were meeting with people about a movie. What's happening there?
I have three movies going on. One is on my life. One is on the life of Yogananda. Another one is called Cities of Light, and it's about Ananda communities as a solution to the modern economic crisis.
When are they coming out?
I don't know. We hope to get the one on Ananda very soon, within a year. The one on Master, on Yogananda, will be, we hope, in a year. And John Irwin, he's a well-known English director, and if I have his name wrong, you can correct it. But he's doing the one on my life. And that'll be out, I think, in a year or two.
Now, is the one about the movie for Master, is that a takeoff on the book that you are presenting at this time?
Yes, it is. I wrote the script, and we have Giacomo Campiotti, who's a very well-known Italian director. He will be directing it, and we're there. We're going to have him present it at the Ford Amphitheater Tour.
Well, we want to let people know that you are actually a playwright yourself. So
Yes, I that was my ambition when I was a young boy, when I was a young man.
So
no,
you,
I think I never thought it would come out this way.
Multi-talented. You're multi-talented. Yeah, because you write music and you're a playwright and in articles.
I've written novels and prose works and heaven knows what else. I can't remember.
Well, you know what's really fun is that you have these I feel like this deep humor within you that just exudes. And maybe, you know, I feel also that Paramahansa Yogananda probably had a great humor too.
He had wonderful sense of humor.
I
was sitting beside him in a theater once, and we were both laughing till the tears came down our cheeks.
Well, you know what? It's really, really exciting for us to see what you're doing. It's just, it must be exciting for you too. And you, not only that, but you have a radio show that each Saturday at 10 a.m. That specific time, you're on for about 15 minutes.
And I have TV shows, and I have a TV show that's going to be every day of the year in all English-speaking languages. Coming out of Dubai. And I'm on YouTube. I have about 600,000 viewers on YouTube.
And we want to share with everyone out there that your website, people can get information from your website, which is www.swamikriyananda.org. And they can actually listen to your biography on your website and your events and everything, so, and articles. So people, we'll put your website up on our website so people can get to it.
Thank you. I'm an old fogey of 86 and I never watch it, but anyway, I'm glad it's there.
Well, you know, you have such energy, such tremendous energy. It must be spirit that just kind of carries you through every day. I mean, it's...
Yeah. I do feel that.
Yeah.
Well, when I was talking to you last year, you said you have trouble sleeping. So when you can't sleep, you just get up and write.
Well, that's often true. That's often true. I wrote my commentaries. They were really memories of what Yogananda wrote of his Bhagavad Gita, and I wrote that in less than 2 months. And I wrote that biography of Yogananda in 3 weeks. So I guess there is a certain amount of energy there.
Now, what out of all the communities, which one is the newest? Is it?
The newest one is in Los Angeles. We're also starting one in Pune, and we have one in Gurgaon, and the DLF, which is a major property in Delhi, is giving us the building for us, the spiritual center of that community, which will be a major thing for us.
And where's that at?
It'll be in outside Delhi in Gurgaon. That's a suburb of Delhi.
And you have, if I remember correctly, you're building a university, or is that right?
We have a university coming up in Laurelwood in Oregon. We've had it at the village, but now we're going to a larger facility.
It just keeps expanding.
We have an education for life system, which we have several schools throughout the world, and it teaches children how to be happy, not just how to get a job, how to get along with people, how to succeed as human beings and not just as robots in the office.
So that's very important now.
Very important.
When children come to your center, how do they connect with the people within the area? Do they love it too? Do they like coming back? Or can you tell us any stories about that?
I don't quite understand your question.
Well, I'm kind of wondering, being that the centers are so peaceful and so joyful, that I wonder when the children come to the centers, how do you see them responding? How, you know, do they want to come back, or are you preparing any area for children?
Well, I can say this. In the scholastic world, in the top 99 percentile, which is pretty darn good, when they leave the school because their parents move away or whatever reason, they always fare very well in their schools. They become leaders of their student body and they're outstanding students.
Now, when I was at the village in Nevada City, the people that live there actually work out in the community. They had jobs and
outside. Yeah. Some work outside, but most work in the community, I'd say.
And you have your own vegetables and
yes.
And the food there is wonderful. Now, can you tell our listeners what the importance of community is?
The importance of community is having, if you have, its value is on many levels. Economically, it's very important. We're coming to a time of massive economic depression, and communities will be a place where you can grow your own food, have your own water, have everything that you need right there on the land. Community is necessary because nobody has any one talent. And if you live with others, you have enough people, each one can do something to meet the various needs of life. In a spiritual way, having people who are on the spiritual path with you, Yogananda used to say that environment is more important than willpower. When you have friends who are on the path, they help you in your down periods, and they help to uplift you at all times. So in many ways, somebody was here recently, he said, I didn't, afterwards he wrote me a letter saying, I didn't see, didn't meet one unkind person. That's quite a good statement.
And that's true. That's so true. And everybody's smiling. I mean, you can feel it. And I think the vibration is, the love vibration is easier to keep when there's so many together with that same vibration.
Indeed, indeed.
So, we want everybody to know about your new book. And
biography.
Yes. And we want people to know that you're going to have a book launching on June 24th at the Ford Amphitheater in Los Angeles. And we can't wait to find out when the new movies are coming out. Do you know which movie is going to come first?
I think The Cities of Light will come out first. That's about Ananda. It begins in Zuccotti Park with all the protests against the economy and everything. Then it shows Ananda as the solution to that problem. Instead of protesting, we offer a solution.
Well, that's unusual in this day and age. Usually people are complaining but have no solutions. So
yeah,
this is very good.
I think it'll be very good.
So,
your
new book.
Swamiji, his Give Out Swami's website, Paula?
Yes. It's www.SwamiKriyananda, that's spelled KriyananDA.org. And when people will be able to actually buy the book after June 24th?
They're able to buy it now, but that's really launching it. I'll be launching a few other books at the same time.
What are those books?
Well, do we have time to talk about it? I'm happy to talk about it.
Sure we
do. One of them
is...
Okay. Well, one is a fantasy I wrote years ago. I was starting to read... I just, in an idle moment, picked up The Wizard of Oz. And I got as far as the Yellow Brick Road, which is, you know, is right at the beginning of the story, and suddenly I got this idea to write a children's story. So I wrote this story. It's called The Time Tunnel, and it's when I was in Romania. My brother and I used to vacation in the Carpathian Alps, and we were in the Carpathian forest there, and we came upon a ruined laboratory. And at the back of this laboratory, there was a tunnel, and they went into this tunnel. And they gradually became reduced to nothing, and suddenly they were encased in a sphere of light. And that is to say, if you want to go beyond time, you have to get out of ego. And so your ego has to become zero. And in that, from that sphere of timelessness, they're able to go forward and backward in time. And so it's an adventure, sort of a romp through time. So that's one book, and it's great fun. I think it may be a bestseller, and parents will be stealing it from their children.
I could see a movie made out of that one, too.
Definitely, I can see a movie. I've written a script for it, but so far no takers. In fact, no offers. I haven't offered it to anybody yet. And then I wrote a book called Pilgrimage to Guadalupe. And this is a story of a man who, he lost his wife and is at the graveside, and suddenly the Virgin of Guadalupe appears and says, seek me, and so he goes on a pilgrimage. And it's really, it's a very good story. It's a lot of dialogues with different people of different consciousness. And then I've written a book called Yogananda for the World, in which it tells my story, how Yogananda's mission is really for the whole world. It's not a separate little small organization. And so it tells some pretty hard truths there. And then we have another book coming out by John Parsons on a lawsuit between his organization launched against me in 1990. It went for 12 years, and it's a very good story. So he'll be there and help to introduce that book. And so anyway, those are several books coming out, and I'll mention them all at the event.
Well, I don't know if you do. You ever sleep with all these books coming out?
You know, Yogananda's teachings taught us how to concentrate, and so I can concentrate pretty well. I wrote that time tunnel in 2 weeks, and so on.
Wow.
So is that part of a meditation technique that can help you concentrate?
Yeah.
Well, you certainly, inspire people as you are around them, I am sure. You just can't help it. It's such wonderful energy to be in your presence, and we are so thankful to have you with us. Whenever you have a spot of time, we'd love to share it always with you.
Now, I have a question. When I was at the village, everyone was wearing royal blue.
I started a new Swami order. It's Anaya Swami. Naya means new in Sanskrit and Hindi. And this is, instead of saying what we don't want, it's more focused on what we do want, samadhi, oneness with God. And it's a very beautiful order, and married people as well as single people are allowed to be in this if they have given up everything and are living for God. So we have about 600 members, I think, or maybe 700 in the world right now. And some of them are Naya Swami, some of them are Brahmacharis, which is the first stage toward that, or Tyagis if they're married, and some are pilgrims, which is just saying, I would like to begin this course.
Well, I took a meditation course when I was at the village, and it's very useful. And I tell everyone, go to the village for a retreat, because you leave so peaceful. And
people will enjoy it.
Yes. Well, we thank you for being with us today. Is there any last message you want to tell everyone?
I would say that in the last run, the only thing that's important is love God.
And
God is infinitely lovable. People think of him as a stern judge. He's not that. He's your own higher self. And he is the most lovable thing in the universe. Love him, and love him for his bliss.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today. And everyone...
Thank you for having me.
And everyone out there that's listening, be sure to look for Swami's new book, Parahansa Yogananda, A Biography. And it has some delightful stories and truths in it. So thank you, and have a beautiful day where you're at, because I know it's beautiful up there.
Thank you very much.
And many blessings to you.
And to you also. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.